Roberto, Tekoa, and Talana and Verity head off from the burned estate, heading northeast towards Greenfield. As they get up in the air, the snow on the ground has melted, but further north, they can see that it's still on the ground. The air is cold around the balloon, and Verity casts a spell to warm it in the immediate vicinity. You can still see the plume of smoke from the train on the horizon, but in the other direction, you can actually see the end of the tracks and the large construction equipment and scaffolding and everything that they have ready to start building a bridge over a small gorge.
Is there water at the bottom of the gorge?
Maybe a little.
Should we burn the bridge?
No,
they're just starting it.
But there's got to be a bridge over it to get carriages across, just not a train.
No, there's no road or anything over it.
All right, never mind then.
So they would have to make a detour in order to get around the gorge. Well, it looks like that's where they were hoping to catch us. Guess it's good that they haven't finished it.
And it seemed like a nice, good spot to have a showdown.
Yeah, speaking of showdowns...
Would they call it the Battle of Red Reef?
Yeah, what about the battle that didn't happen at the mansion? Like,
what do you mean?
Why did we not... Things get really confusing. Why didn't we fight him? You know, Nicholas.
Oh, yeah.
We didn't have time.
I'm confused as well.
I think it's both of those. One, we were kind of confused. Two...
He did invite us to tea.
We did
kind
of run out of time.
Yeah, we did run out of time, yes. He did help us... Sort of.
He's not completely evil.
Still processing that one. But he did attack the town of Vane. He admitted that.
Yes.
I wanted to attack the Vane after, you know, dealing with that Burgermeister.
At least you did not.
At least him. At least, all right. I just wanted to grab him by the ear and show him some manners.
Okay, that's different.
So is that the extreme then? Is that the extreme that... We go from, if you're on a quest for vengeance, you take any slight and you just ramp it up to 5,000 and you go off and you just become that destructive?
You become the thing that you don't like, yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah, that sounds about right.
So is that kind of what happened there with him, you think? Look.
He said he was there for the graves. They wouldn't give him the graves. They chased him out. We showed up and saved people from dying.
Yeah. And some more stuff.
Pretty convincing story.
What, you don't buy it?
No.
What do you mean, no?
That guy, no.
What, do you know him?
No.
He knew you?
No, he didn't.
Are you talking to Hans again? Hans Weiss?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Hans Weiss, yeah, I got it written down right here.
Okay. Verity, I'm sorry. It's, it was so complicated. With the situation, he didn't attack us. Like, he invited us up for a cup of tea and then asked if we wanted to kill each other like civilized people. But then Talana decided that we shouldn't kill him.
Well, think of it this way. So we have the Paladins coming up behind us. They want to kill us, and they want to kill anybody who's a necromancer. So, I mean, if he has a fight, at least it should be with the Paladins, and then they can get blamed for his death. But then also, if he wins, then at least, you know, they take care of the Paladins for us. It's a win-win. Lose.
Yeah.
But one of the problems is I think the Paladins made him, in a sense.
You mean like they make us? The fact that they want to kill us just for existing?
Yeah. Well, they want to kill you because you have like a spirit bound to you.
Yeah.
They want to kill me because I travel on the rivers and... I don't know if they want to kill Talana.
I think they do because I'm your friend.
That's most likely the case. That's fair. Yeah. I mean, but yeah, Verity, the only thing I can think of that, well, I mean, it seemed reasonable at the time. I mean, Roberto was talking sense, and And Nicholas actually helped us understand what was afflicting me. So in that sense, it's kind of a... An uneasy truce?
Well, it was a trade.
Okay.
It was an absolute trade.
What did
I
we
needed
trade?
Help to figure you out.
Yeah.
And understand you better.
I understand. Most therapists
Nicholas helped me understand what was afflicting you and how to travel and had to get the... you fixed.
Okay, but what did we trade in what was the trade?
The trade is that they're going to kill each other, and if not, then at least someone's going to get hurt and injured, and we get away to fight another day.
I think that's part of it. I think part of it is he gets his battle with the paladins and not with us.
And isn't that what he said he wanted anyways, was to fight the paladins?
That's why he seemed to be waiting.
And he kind of wanted me to, but I'm not a necromancer, so you know.
Now that I think about it, you didn't exactly disagree with it every time you mentioned that.
I disagree with most people when they call me that, so.
Most people, yes, but not Nicholas.
I needed something from him.
Oh, okay. So if you need something from somebody, you'll agree with whatever they want to do.
You know how we were talking about Nicholas and how he has this quest for vengeance? And at times there are things that he seems like he's willing to do.
Are you trying to say there's a pot calling the kettle black here?
I can sympathize with some of that.
I can't. And I'm the one on the vengeance quest. I mean, you're kind of on a vengeance quest too, but I mean, but I did, so.
So this is a quest for vengeance, okay? Are we going to be like him? Are we going to, you know, turn to the vile side and raise things from the dead and attack people that just because they're
no
short, mean, ornery burgermeisters that
no,
you know,
no, we're not. No,
or are we going to get vengeance on the paladins because they are chasing us?
No.
Well, maybe that one Anza who attacked me.
No, Roberto, no.
But me, because he hurt me.
Yeah, but
okay. No, you know, but no. Is he just doing his job? Do I have to? I don't want to get vengeance on for doing his job. But what if Nicholas is right and that paladins and the Iron Tower are manipulating?
I think both sides are manipulating, to be honest with you, because we've been branded as a lot of things that we're not, and there's been a lot of accidents that we've been branded as it being on purpose, and things have happened and we've saved people and we get ignored for that, and yet then we're still running from them because they consider us evil. But then the evil ones, who we know can be evil, case in point, cursing of sister and binding her to me, is rather evil, I would think, are out there trying to basically recruit you to their side.
Yeah.
And to stop the Iron Tower for what they think is a bad thing. Right, Talana? I mean, I'm not going crazy, right?
No, it makes sense. It's kind of like they're trying to use you for their betterment of what they want. But, I mean, aren't we all when we do look at
But then
things
Caleb
like,
needs our help. Caleb.
Yes, that's why we're... Caleb, that's why we're going where we're
dang
going.
It.
What?
I didn't tell him.
You didn't
Did I?
Tell him what?
I didn't... I don't think I told Nicholas about Caleb. And
are you supposed to tell a potential nemesis about Caleb?
Well, at least, you know, like, the end is coming, so...
So maybe that was Caleb knew that was going to happen and knew you weren't going to tell this person and he doesn't need to know.
You know, I think that gives entirely too much credit to Caleb, but...
I don't know, he seems really nice and he seems really smart, and I think he knew that you weren't going to tell this guy and that that's okay, but that you need to share with us because maybe you wouldn't have shared with us. Because you were keeping things kind of hush-hush.
You might be right.
Mm-hmm. Yep, I know.
I think it's cute how trusting you guys are.
You think it's cute how trusting we are. Why do you think
that,
Hans?
Who said
that? You seem to trust everybody.
Well, why wouldn't I?
I've heard a lot of speeches in my day, and I'll just leave it at that.
What?
Good
night. You've heard a bunch of speeches, and what, you wrote them down in your book?
He's jealous.
Ooh. What could Hans be jealous of?
He's jealous you have a body, and he has a head.
Oh, that he's just a dismembered, body? Yeah.
Yeah, he's
jealous.
Is
he in your bag still?
Yeah, because, yeah.
Talana cannot see the face that he's making at her.
Nope.
I'm sure we can feel it, though.
And Verity's just leaning against the side of the basket, taking in the conversation.
I think that we need to do what we need to do for the betterment of the world. And I know staying alive is very important for us to accomplish that. If we die fighting paladins, it's not going to do us any good. Not going to do the world any good. So let's go kill more dead things and make them more undead. So they die again.
No. We make them. Yeah. They're already dead. Undead.
Not revived dead, but dead.
Less undead.
And then let's go save people who are alive so that they don't become dead or dead a dead person.
Yes. And we won't have any more monologue conversations with future necromancers.
No, if we come across a necromancer, we're just going to take the head off without letting them talk, okay?
But that's not what
Is that what we're saying? The next necromancer, we just take their head?
Well, what if they want us to come out for tea again?
No, we say no, because they might poison us.
You know, there's a reason why I didn't drink the tea.
I didn't drink it either.
I think I ended up drinking the tea at some point. Why did I do that? This is such a weird situation. It's like I was under a spell of some sort. I don't know what was going on with me.
Well, I don't know. Maybe I'm just too trusting because...
Are we just too trusting? Is that it?
We all look at Verity. Yes.
All right. Do I need to write down that next necromancer we come across? We're just going to take his head off?
No, we're just...
Because we got to get information.
Why do we have to write it down? We can just do it.
Information was a good thing. I mean, I'm not mad about the information. That actually helps me out a lot. He obviously wasn't on the up and up as far as everything he was saying goes. Yes, he felt justified, but then again, we can all justify everything if we try hard.
I'm really good at that.
You're absolutely right. You are.
Not me. I don't justify anything.
Oh,
I only go by what's true.
All right, Talana. Yep, that's right. Because Branson's there for the betterment of everyone.
He is so nice to people. Not everybody, but the good people.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I suppose. How far away are we from Greenfield?
We're going to be there tomorrow. Probably early in the morning.
So who are we meeting again in Greenville?
Well, I know a guy. He kind of likes to dig and collect things.
With
all sorts of... Huh?
So where does he dig? Is he an archaeologist or a grave robber?
You know the difference between an archaeologist and a grave robber?
No, I don't, actually. I was curious.
Yeah, usually scholarship in a degree.
Funding, yeah.
Funding, yeah.
Funding, yes.
Yeah.
Morbid quick. Okay.
Right? Because that's all.
Oh, I just thought it was depending on where you dig.
Yeah. Well, if I remember right, Greenfield has a lot of cool places to dig. They have walls and graveyards and, they're constantly cleaning up and they got ghost problems, but not ghost problems.
Yeah, here they've got ghost problems.
Do you know why they have ghost problems, Verity?
Because the lantern's missing.
Oh.
I'm sorry, what?
Like, no, not... You're
the
talking
what's
about the lantern?
The lantern, yeah.
Oh.
You don't know about the lantern? Greenfield? Doesn't ring a bell?
You heard about the lantern or Greenfield?
I don't know anything about the lantern or Greenfield.
You want to do the honors or me?
Let's see. If I remember right, all I got is a summary, like, tons of ghosts, ghost schools, cool lantern...
Yeah.
By ghosts.
So
what is it?
Basically, they've got a it's like a sun lamp, but more powerful. This ghost hunter founded a school there. I think his name was Applegate. And he made this fantastic lantern, which protected the whole city, but it disappeared a couple months ago, I think. So they're not too happy with the ghosts there.
No, that's not good.
That doesn't sound very safe at all.
But that also means that there might be some employment.
True. Are you planning on settling down?
Here they're hiring salters, but beyond that, I don't know. Maybe you could work at one of the ghost tours.
Oh, that'd be great. I could do that. I could definitely do that.
I sense a dig there.
Uh-huh. Definitely going into a dig. What? The salters? What? They're like the Applegate version of like paladins, right? Where they go and dig up dead stuff and get rid of bodies.
A lot less respect than the paladins. Yeah, they just dig the graves and exhume the bodies. Make sure there's nothing left of anything that's haunting.
Man, not to be morbid or anything, but you know, you could probably do a lot of stuff with all those ghosts, you know, forge them into ghost hunting weapons, ghost finders, you know? I don't know. Just thinking out loud.
But what? Why would you
give you the side eye and adjust some things, some ropes?
You know what I mean?
Like, no, I don't know what you mean, because you're a conductor that sees the dead onto the other side, so there's no reason to keep them around to use them as parts.
To do your job better?
Would it do your job better?
To combat the ones that don't want to go back over?
Is that
you
like
know, there
saying,
are lots of ones that don't want to go home, right?
I really understand that. I fought plenty of them. I remember the bone construct. I quite remember that very well.
Well, that was me. That was like...
Still was a lot of people that didn't want to go back.
And you just said you want to like, make something out of the ghost. We shouldn't make anything out of ghosts except for dead ghosts. So they don't come back.
Dead ghosts? You're right. Yeah. You're right. Ish.
Most. Ish. See, there goes that agreeing up to a point. See, I'm catching
it. I can only agree up to a point.
Well,
Like
what?
I think you're turning evil. Stop it.
He's not turning evil. He has
a
good heart.
What do you mean I'm turning evil?
That sounds right.
You want to use dead things to make more dead things powerful. That's not good.
No. To make living things more powerful. To combat
but you're using dead things that should be dead and gone away to make things more powerful for your own use. Isn't that what the necromancers do? Are you saying you're actually a necromancer
there.
And not a conductor?
What she just said. That was what I was just thinking.
What?
So are you saying that you're a necromancer and not a conductor?
Using the undead in order to make a living person more powerful, which is exactly what the undead or the necromancers do. Case in point, Nicholas, he had an army of undead.
Classic necromancer.
Is it click? Dang it.
Might want to re-examine your values.
I may need to re-examine my values.
I'm going to tap him on the head. Stop trying to turn evil. Stop it.
Thumped you on the forehead.
I'm already hurt.
How are you already hurt?
Be nice.
Jelana, don't bludgeon him into niceness.
Am I already hurt? I don't know. Casting spells.
What is happening?
Casting spells hurts. Casting spell hurts, okay?
It never hurts, Jelana.
I don't get hurt.
I don't know how. I honestly don't know how. Here I'm casting all sorts of magic, and I come away beaten and broken. Look at my paw. It's all bloody. It's like somebody gnawed on it. And then you get this beautiful water magic and it just like
makes a giant water beaver. It was really impressive, Verity.
Very impressive.
Yes, I made the beaver because I knew it was going to die. Because, you know, it's great.
The conversation fades as the group of you continue on. As you head northeast and pass over the large hills to the east of this little valley, the red reef opens up in front of you. You can see the tall ochre grass stretching out beneath you with spots of snow dotting in the places that are still in the shadow of hills. Every once in a while, you spot a small town fires burning in chimneys, people moving around doing their daily chores. In the afternoon, you spot the road and the parade of paladins heading north, and you actually spot a place where they turn off the main road onto a smaller, less used road that heads more north and towards the Iron Tower. Is there anything else you all want to do while you're in the air?
The paladins are leaving the Red Reef area too?
They're leaving the main road that goes between Gilder and Greenfield and cutting straight north towards the Iron Tower.
And then travel along, like, okay, I see where we're at.
As the three of you spend your day up in the air, what do you each do? Is there one interesting thing you do?
I think Roberto starts going through some of that. Well, he's got to read. He has to read.
Yeah.
And I think he reads with like one hand while the other one is like, he puts like an ointment and salve on his hand and like writes with his offhand every once in a while to make notes and, or does the, you know, scribbling.
On occasion, Dakota reaches over and is like, what do you need me to write?
Or how do you spell?
What are you reading?
I'm reading Calum's journal.
Okay.
Yeah. I think that's the most pressing thing to read. He always, I think he begins reading with Calum's prologue. I think that's what he keeps in mind. Keeping that in the forefront of his mind is, this is why I'm reading it, is to help. I have to help. So I think that's... Okay.
So Roberto studies up on the dead.
What did that picture do again? It had some property to it, and I don't remember what it was.
Oh, the...
The drawing.
The picture was very, very accurate.
That I drew.
It was the pen was able to... it used some sort of slightly necromantic magic to,
of course,
call upon past memories or the dead or something along those lines.
Gotcha.
Where the heck did that pen come from?
It came from Tawana's special bag.
Yeah, it was her special talent of, hey, I've got a pen.
Pockets. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, a pen and paper.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was deep pockets followed by a triumph.
Yeah.
That's right.
For my role. I think that Tico is actually going to sit down and draw some things.
What is he going to do?
I think, I think it's going to be like it's kind of like whenever you're sketching, like your 15-minute sketch kind of thing. So he's just kind of like scribbling out stuff or sketching out things like that have happened so far. You know, everything from the bone construct to just things that caught his eye, like the sun lamp that was faded and broken, the mansion that was all, you know, burned out and whatnot. Just a lot of things that we've kind of gone through, like little things here and there. He's trying not to think about really far back memories, you know?
Yeah.
But just kind of, and you know, some like Tulana with her axe and whacking off ahead of an undead, you know, things like that, whimsical things like that. And then Hans over here making faces like with a fake tongue and whatnot at Roberto. And then Roberto with like a skull face with a little bell. You know, totally not. Just doodles and things.
What does Tulana do?
Tulana actually dug into her bag and... She's holding tightly so it doesn't blow away to a scarf that her grandma had given her. And it's kind of old. It's frayed a little bit. And she's holding on to that. And she's looking at that in her bracelet. And she's just thinking about home. She's thinking about her grandma. She's thinking about her sister. The bracelet reminds her of her sister. And her sister had one exactly like it. So she's just remembering her family and why she left and why she's on this adventure to begin with. Like, why... She left to go on this grand adventure was mainly not because to seek glory for herself, though that's really amazing and awesome. But just because she wants vengeance for her sister and she wants to end suffering for no one else to have to deal with what she went through. And so she just is thinking about grandma and she's holding onto this scarf and getting lost in her memories of her family and her sister and her grandma. And she smells the scarf every once in a while. It smells like home. It smells like her grandma.
Like grandma's perfume and the sea.
Yeah.
The three of you do your own things for the most of the day and share a small, not great, meal with Verity towards sundown. You watch the long shadows of the earth move below you and the sun goes down, and after you left that valley, it ended up being a very clear day. Cold, but clear. And as the sun goes down, you spot two of the moons up in the sky, and the stars come out. You're able to get a full night's sleep in the basket. Verity's spell lasts the night and keeps all of you warm. And as morning rolls around, Verity wakes the three of you up because you can spot Greenfield on the horizon. The smoke from many, many chimneys mixes with the smoke from the large iron foundry on the west side of town. It looks like this town was built on a big, big hill. And as you come at it from the west, you see that it's sort of built into tiers. The top one housing some pretty fancy buildings, including a very large one. The middle and lower one with smaller buildings. The east side of town, Roberto probably spots it first because he would be looking for it. There's a large cemetery with an iron fence that goes around it. The lowest tier of the town sort of spreads out when it hits the bottom of the hill into the areas surrounding it. And there's quite a bit of farmland and a couple smaller towns on the outskirts.
Where am I sitting down?
Well, Takoa, see? This is how you wake someone up. Very nicely, gently, and with a lot of patience. This is how you... Thank you, Verity.
Yeah, I
this
heard
is
you
how
yesterday.
You wake someone up. Take notes. Thank you, Verity. You're a wonderful person.
Right.
I think getting us some breakfast would be the best thing, don't you think, Verity? Where
would you like to sit down?
I suppose. I can't sit down in the highest tier.
Okay.
They'll get mad.
Like how mad? Like just Little Myth get off the lawn mad, or...
Like potentially a fine, Matt.
We already owe you enough as is. Let's not do that.
Yeah, we don't need that. There's only... This might be interesting to the three of you, considering your reputation. There's only one tower in Greenfield. It's on the west side near the Iron Foundry.
Yeah,
that makes sense.
Yeah, we're definitely not going to be landing near there. Let's just not land near
there.
That's
probably empty.
Well, actually, that's a good point. Would it be empty?
Not necessarily.
If they're all being recalled, this is when Talon Wizard deorders and pulls out a telescope and takes a look.
Verity has a telescope.
Oh, can you see if there's any activity over there? Not that we need to land there, but it's just good to know.
I guess.
She pulls out her telescope and aims it towards the tower. It looks larger than the one that you burned down.
On accident.
Look, that was an accident. This will be on purpose. I mean, that was an accident. We're not going to repeat ourselves.
I see, and you can probably see the white cloaks. There's a number of them leaving the area right now, but there are some others that are staying back. It looks like some of them are arguing.
Really? That's interesting conversation.
Yep.
Sounds
well,
about
where
right.
is your contact located, Roberto?
East side's a great side.
East side of town? I can drop you off near the third shift. Their food's not bad.
Let's do that.
That sounds like a good idea. I think that would be a safe for all of us.
It's a perfect place.
She takes the balloon across town. You get a good look at the winding streets and large homes in the center of the town. And she brings it down on the east side, just off of the road that heads through town. And probably about a quarter mile from where the city ends.
Well, good luck.
Hey, thanks.
I appreciate it.
Thanks, Verity, for everything.
She begins tying off the balloon. As the group of you depart, she casts a spell. Just a little ward to keep other people away.
It was nice meeting you,
Verity.
Thing
I gotta take care of in town. And it's nice meeting you, too.
I hope to see you again someday.
Yeah, maybe someday. Yeah, all right. Well, yeah, I'm headed this way. So
opposite direction of us. We're going. Conveniently.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Points a thumb in the other direction.
So, yeah, I'll see you sometime.
Oh, Tekoa, like, hold on just a moment. He like flips a couple of pages in his like little now doodle book and pulls out a page, tears it out, cleans off the edges real quick and hands it to her. It's a picture of all of them in the in the balloon. I know you're not really a sentimental person, but just because, well, there. Yeah.
She looks at it and gives you a funny little smile and says,
yeah, thanks.
Nailed it.
It's pretty good.
It's one of those things where she's like on the front, like with her, you know, paws, you know, or her arms on her hands on her hips, you know, looking out ahead.
Her wings.
And
then,
yes, her wings on her hips. And, you know, Roberto in the back chanting something or arguing with skulking. Hans. Yeah. Skulking, yeah. Arguing with Hans and Talana. What would Talana be doing?
Some battle pose.
Standing on the axe. It's like, ha ha! The axe raised in
standing
the air.
Standing on the axe so I could see over the edge.
Mm-hmm. And the three of you head off from the balloon. Verity gave you directions to where you could find the third shift. It's pretty self-explanatory. You just take this road until you get to the gate right across the street from the Greenfield Yard, the entrance to the yard. As you go, the iron fence to your left rises about 8.5 feet up, and you see numerous gravestones off into the distance. The graveyard is the biggest one you've ever seen, and it's daytime now, but you imagine that at nighttime, it's not a place that you want to be. You see little squads of... That's true. Little squads of people digging up graves here and there. Large buckets of salt being spread out with shovels. And eventually you make it to the third shift. It's a 3-story tavern and inn. Around the outside, there are a couple people hanging out. It looks like this is the place where the salters go when their shift is over.
Hmm, gotcha. Which means we'll have a good hearty meal here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so outside it, you spot some very tired-looking people with their leaning on their shovels, and a few of them are bedraggled. Some are very, very pale. Heading in, would one of you like to describe it?
I would like to know first, are there any wards on the door or anything like that that might affect me going in, or is that nothing that I have to worry about here?
As you step in, you do notice that below the step outside the door, there's a little trickle of running water.
Oh.
And you have to pass over an iron bar. Walking on these streets, you notice that there tends to be a lot of iron embedded in the streets.
Okay.
Little medallions with symbols that you assume are associated with Greenfield.
Okay. So they're kind of like prepared for an uprising of undead. Mm-hmm. If they ever were to happen, they're kind of ready for it. So, gotcha. Okay, so it doesn't really mess with me in particular.
No, it just makes you a little queasy for a second.
Yeah, gotcha. So we step inside.
Got your land feet yet? You're looking a little bit
now. I'm
a little woozy there.
I'm good. I'm definitely good. The threshold was good. Yep, I'm good. He kind of gestures back with his head.
Good. All right. I'll start it. The third shift is a brick and mortar base. So the first floor is hardy brick and hardy mortar. Mm-hmm. It's got high windows that you can only see through if you're standing on a stool looking out.
Wait, preference, who's standing on a stool? Me or Tekoa?
Tekoa.
So three Tulanas okay. tall.
It's, yeah, no, three Tulanas that, tall. Yeah.
That'd be four Tulanas. Yeah. That'd be four Tulanas. Okay, four Tulanas.
It's dark and smoky in here. The that's worn, oiled, worn tables are sturdy and look like they've soaked up their fair share of dirt and grease and ale.
So like big, all heavy, oaken type tables, that kind of thing we're thinking?
That's what I'm thinking.
Cherry wood, oak, something. Mm-hmm. Yeah, gotcha.
I think the...
No, go ahead.
I was going to say the bar top is this 2 foot thick slab of what's the really nice wood that's in Fenrain? That'd be heartwood. What's the?
It could be redwood up from
Longvale.
Longvale.
Ooh, yeah. There you go.
I think that's what it is.
There'll be some local older people, gentlemen there, just talking, chilling, chatting away.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So there are some portraits on the wall when you enter on the left.
Mm-hmm.
And though this place has that sort of rustic, heavy vibes that you were describing, I think it is actually very clean. Do you have either of you have anything else to add before I describe some of the other people that are in here?
They probably have little areas for people to sit that's not with a table, like just like some sofas or chairs, just for people to sit without the tables. And like a little reading nook almost for someone to come and read or relax. You have your bar and your, you know, the tables for that, but also you have their little gathering area that people could come and just hang out and not have to drink.
Ooh, I have something I want to add to that. Go ahead.
Yeah.
They have like a free little library section there that like everybody in town has kind of put a book in, you know, kind of one of those things where you donate a book kind of deal.
Anything else?
A giant hearth on one side of this ginormous like fireplace that's mm-hmm. easily like six Tulanas wide, and yep. you know, they stoke that kind of thing up and whatnot, and it, you know, kind of gives a nice heat, but it gives you more ambiance, and it's more of just kind of that.
Is that where they used to like smoke their malts and stuff?
Yeah, so like it's partially kind of where they can like set up, you know, Dutch ovens and things like that. But also for the, you know, you want to be near a fire whenever it gets really cold in the winters, stuff like that. We've got this whole thing that just kind of heats up a large portion of the place. So it's kind of what I'm thinking there.
In that lounge area, you spot some people just sitting, looking very tired, who match the salters that you saw outside the door. The person behind the bar is a Durin who you don't see very often on the west side of Gildr. They have sort of woody, barky antler kind of things coming out of the top of their head. Their features are almost deer-like, and their skin is also very much like what you would see on a tree.
Okay.
There is also a family of Woderhavs off in one of the corners.
Oh.
So they're not the same type of Woder that Tulana is. They're probably 1.5 Tulanas tall, the adults, and they have 2 kids as well.
Aw. So we know that's where Tulana's going to run off to.
My peoples. Why are they so far from the ocean? I must go see them.
Thank you for listening to this episode of The Other Place. The Other Place is a production of Nightcast Creative. For more about us and the things that we do, visit nightcastcreative.com.